Next on BYUSN, did BYU football offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick say something that might give us insight to who wins the starting quarterback position? We decipher through his words and give you our interpretations of what he said.
David Nixon's in the house to talk quarterbacks, the AP poll, and the defense. And Top 5 Tuesday's back, baby. The top 5 plays of training camp so far.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. A very happy Tuesday, August 12th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who always rides his roller coasters with eyes wide open, Jerem Jordan.
With eyes wide open. Recently, the men's basketball team went up to Lagoon, your neck of the woods, and one of your favorite places, I think, right? Dom Diamande, Hadim, and Boop were featured in a video riding the Colossus roller coaster, which was very entertaining. Take a look.
I told you I'm gonna keep my eyes open, but I can't. I can't. I keep my eyes closed. Hi, everybody. My name is Dominic Diamande. I'm not from Canada. Survive without no fear.
Yeah, no fear for sure.
Poker face all the time.
No fear.
The double loop with eyes closed.
Who goes on a roller coaster and closes their eyes? Dumb. No, that was funny. Hadim was legitimately scared before. Yeah. I'm not sure how many roller coasters
that
he had been on. Those are intense though, man. That's crazy.
I can relate to the fear involved in certain roller coasters. Notably returned from Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, and went on some absolutely insane rides. It is unbelievable what engineers can do and what people will allow themselves to do after the engineers create those roller coasters, Jerem. So I can empathize to a degree with wanting to keep your eyes closed in certain moments. Very fun stuff. We love the all access. This is how you get to know those players and their real personalities.
Yeah.
I look forward to getting to know them on a very close level as it's BYU basketball season. I know football's a few days away. Basketball's not that far away, dude.
No. It's coming up, too. The boys are practicing. They're getting after it. They'll have a couple weeks off, and then school starts, and we're getting at it. Let's go, baby.
Basically, class is in session, and class is certainly in session today on BYUSN, and so rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
We're looking for a good decision maker. We're keeping track of how these guys grade out every practice. You can't keep giving equal reps to three guys or nobody will be ready to play. Whoever takes that field is going to be expected to play up to the BYU quarterback standard that's been set by so many other great QBs.
Who is the next great BYU quarterback? Obviously, every BYU fan hopes that somewhere in the midst of this three-man quarterback race, there is the answer to that question. A name who will rise and take on the responsibility. Yesterday, we played a one-on-one interview that I recently conducted with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick following Saturday's scrimmage. Not a scrimmage he was very happy with, mind you. I had him break down what he's seen from each of BYU's three quarterbacks to this point of training camp, all who are battling for that starting position. So let's listen again to what he had to say and see if we feel we learned something extra from what he said. We'll begin with A-Rod talking about if there is some separation being made and if they are still watching things, obviously, very closely.
I think there's starting to be some a little bit of a separation there. I need to watch this film to confirm that. I think, you know, because the body of work grows incrementally. You know, you get a certain number of pass attempts each day in practice, and, you know, that body of work grows, and we're keeping track of how these guys grade out every practice. We keep track of every stat in practice the same way you would in a real game, because stats aren't everything, but they do matter. It's part of the position. And then also just we grade them on if they're doing the right thing with the ball every play. Yeah, it's not going to be equal reps forever. You know, that's the time is coming soon where we're going to have to make some decisions. You can't keep giving equal reps to three guys or nobody will be ready to play. So that time will be coming soon. I'm not exactly sure how soon, but we are watching it very closely every day.
First and foremost, A-Rod is a man who has changed his stance on stats.
He once upon a time said stats for losers. I was like, what? They're not everything, but they're an indication of certain levels of execution, so on and so forth. So.
And they're tracking the stats.
Of course they are.
As they should, of each of the three quarterbacks and each and every individual rep.
Yeah.
And reviewing the film, the tape. By the way, can we get a new word for that? What should we call it? Like, we need a new word for this. It's not film.
It's not film. This is just in. It's not film.
Reviewing the digital files.
Once they go to the room and they develop it, then they can see what happened. Okay. In a couple hours.
Whatever it is that he's watching it closely. But what's your takeaway on the idea that there is some separation happening, Jerem?
It'd be nice if he had told us which one, huh? Yeah, there is some separation. I would hope so at this point. And I keep screaming this from the rooftops here, this Rammy Umptum known as BYU Sports Nation, Studio B, is if I'm the two vets, I make it clear that a true freshman can't come in and beat me out. That idea would be offensive to me if I was McKay Hillstead or Trayson Bourget. Nope, I've started games in college. I know what I'm doing. I've been in this system. You showed up a couple months ago. I'm going to show you what's up. But here's the thing. Bear Bachmeyer is one of the highest-rated recruits BYU's ever had, man, at quarterback. He is big time. When he signed, I don't feel like everybody, I tried to make it a big deal. A big deal that he signed. I know he hasn't started. He's a true freshman. Like, that's difficult in Power 4. But the fact that Bear is hanging in there tells me that he's got a legit chance to win this. So they're evaluating everything. And like I've said before, there's no agenda here other than winning. Who's the guy that's going to help BYU win the best? That guy gets the nod.
Yeah, and I know that there are several of you that think, well, if BYU is pacing for an 8-4 season, let's just throw the new guy in there and build for something special in the future. Let's just get him the reps.
I don't like the word just
get
there.
Get it going.
Feels like it's, well, whatever.
Yeah, no. You want to throw in the towel to a degree on this season? No, there's way too much talent around whoever the starting quarterback is.
Certainly, for me, the expectation adjusts when you have a fifth-year senior transfer in July. And yet you don't have, like, a guy that has started in the Power 4 ready to go. That's tough. It adjusts it by maybe a game or two.
Yeah.
But let's just see what this guy can do and this team can do. I want to watch it play out before I just declare there's no way they can compete for a Big 12 title in this situation.
All three of these quarterbacks are very different from one another. That's what adds another layer to this quarterback battle. It's not like there are two that are similar skill set style. They're all so different from each other. I mean, you ask any of the players, okay, what's McKay like? Oh, he just makes plays. You know, he just finds a way. I had a couple of guys say he plays like Mighty Mouse. And when you think he's done, like all of a sudden he rises up, he flexes, and he spins a ball 50 yards for a huge gain. But he just has the ability to extend plays with his legs, and he understands the offense better than a guy like Bear Bachmeyer. But Bear just has that strength and athleticism.
And where's number 47?
Yes.
Let's remind the people why. Because he played middle linebacker and running back until eighth grade.
He wanted
That's
people
why
to know
he wears 47.
That he's a physical player, even when he's playing quarterback.
Yes, yes. Okay? Trust me, the defense is going to know.
And then Trayson is the clear leader, guy who has the charisma. Guys, look, he just has that natural leadership ability.
Looks the part, sort of fits the mold of what the traditional last couple years quarterback can do.
He's more of your traditional pocket passer
more
with
plug
that
and play.
Size.
The can
six,
run.
6'2 yep. frame, can run. And I want to give him some, be fair to him, because I think people are like, well, Trayson can't run. Like, no, Trayson can run.
No, he can run. Is he as good of a runner as the other two?
No. But he can still do it.
Yes.
So,
BYU will.
So different.
I think under Aaron Roderick, they will not have a pocket passer only ever again. They will always have a dual threat.
An ability. You need someone that has the ability to move.
You just need it.
And extend plays.
It's not 1993. Yep. Ryan Leaf, 6'4", just sit back there and chuck it. Like, or 6'6", whatever.
Very different game.
Different game.
Okay, let's hear from A-Rod about all three quarterbacks.
Let's hear it first about Trayson Bourget, because you asked him, okay, give me something they do really well and then something they are working on. We begin with Trayson Bourget.
Trayson, he actually is the guy who knows the offense the best of the three, I would say. Just he's been in the program a little bit longer than the other guys. And, you know, I think Trayson is doing a lot of good things for our team. And really, it's just consistency day in and day out, just being consistent. He knows what to do. He runs the team well. I just want to see a high level of consistency from him.
So Green, flag. Oh, he knows the offense the best of the
he
three.
Knows it better
he's
than
been here a couple years. Yeah. Yellowish red flag. Seeking consistency.
Yeah, like he needs to see
that's a thing
consistency
he needs to work
at a high level.
Yeah,
knows the offense. It's a different. That's very different than executing the offense at a high level. You can know it, but you got to go out and execute it. It's kind of like, I mean, you learned the language on your mission to Brazil.
Debatably,
to Korea.
Yeah.
Okay, you can understand all the grammar and all the words and have everything memorized. But, Jeremy, if you don't sound good in the execution, no one's
going
to be able to understand you and take you seriously.
Southern Brazil, there's a lot of German-Italian immigrants. They thought I was Brazilian until I started talking.
So you got to execute.
You're not from here, are you?
You got to sound the part, look the part, and know the part. So, Yeah.
But the Spirit speaketh all languages.
Okay. Next comment from McKay is about McKay Hillstead from Aaron Roderick.
It's just a matter of, you know, he's operating so much more quickly this fall than he did in the spring. And you can just see that his comfort level in our offense has really grown. And I'm pleased with that growth. And it's what a difference from spring ball till now and how he's operating. And I would like to just see him continue to be able to just push the tempo, like get a play call, get our team going, get lined up, you know, move things along. You know, it's one of those things as a fan, you're watching the game, you probably don't really notice, but the faster you can get that call, get things, get people going, lined up, the more play clock you give yourself to see what the defense is doing. You know, so that's why I want to see McKay just keep growing in his, and how fast he plays and how he processes the information and moves our team.
A lot of gushing remarks there from Aaron Roderick.
Yeah.
And he's not a guy that blows, you know, smoke at you.
Yeah.
That's not his style. So in that 52-second soundbite, what was your number one takeaway about A-Rod's feeling of McKay Hillstead and his ability to run the BYU offense?
Yeah, he's very comfortable in the offense. He's running it quicker than spring, but he wants it even quicker than he's doing it, which is really interesting. My concern and question with McKay isn't whether this dude has ball skills. It's
he can spin it.
Can, and he can run. Like, he's listed at 5'10". That means he's probably 5'9", from all indications. Is that sustainable in the Big 12? Like, I don't doubt the dude can ball. I'm just talking sustainability. Not only getting hit and whatnot, but obviously he's not going to throw over guys, but like, are the passing lanes going to be good? Is he having too many balls batted at the line of scrimmage and so on and so forth? There are issues that could occur there, but if he makes plays, it doesn't matter. Like, you can overcome that. There have been shorter quarterbacks in the Power Four level. It's rare to have a guy like that. Oh, Kyler Murray. Okay, name like five others though. He was exceptional. And
Bryce Young.
He was crazy quick.
The Heisman Trophy winner.
Right. Like there. Yes, at Alabama and Oklahoma. Like, these are next-level guys. McKay has a chance to be the guy and a starter. I'm just thinking long-term, can that continue? Will that work? Brandon Doman came on the show a couple weeks ago and was like, he's the guy, they should name him right now.
He was very bullish.
He was very bold on McKay.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want a certain guy to win in this battle. I just want someone who's going to help BYU win. I just want winning. I don't care who the guy is as long as BYU wins, they make good decisions, take care of the ball, all the things A-Rod says.
You used the terminology when we were talking about Trayson of, okay, green flags, like positives, and then red flag or yellow flag. I didn't hear a red flag.
No, there was no...
from Aaron Roderick on McKay Hillstead.
Yep.
I heard
and it
the
wasn't
caution,
even...
which is like tempo.
Yes, but to me, that's like light yellow, of like just a little quicker.
So yes.
He likes McKay there. He was, to me, you're going to hear the Bear Bachmeyer soundbite in a second, too, is... he was kind of telling us, like, okay, Trayson's third, in my opinion. Mm. That's all just on me. Like, Trayson's just a little bit. The separation is these two ahead right now. Again, that could change. What if Trayson killed it at practice yesterday? What if he crushes it this week? I don't think it's over. Like, I don't think A-Rod's like, yeah, it's this guy. Maybe he feels like, okay, I need confirmation this week of this one person.
Yeah. Is there a clear starter in place, and now it's really a battle for who's QB2?
Maybe.
Have we gotten to that point?
Maybe. Okay. We have media availability today, hoping we get an update on this situation.
All right. So, finally, you just talked about it. Yeah. A-Rod on the freshman Bear Bachmeyer recently.
Bear, very talented guy, very smart. It's amazing he's only been here, I can't remember if today was practice 8 or 9, but to be in college football, for 8 or 9 practices and to know our offense as well as he does is very impressive. And with Bear, what we just need to see is just reps with our best players. Those reps just grow a little bit each day. And there's times where like he's doing the right thing with the ball, but maybe he hasn't thrown that particular route to that guy before. And maybe we're a couple inches off because sometimes it's things like a person's body language as they're coming out of their break and understanding the timing of it. With Bear, it's just a matter of building up his reps and gaining experience.
That's a big tell to me.
Clearly, he has the highest ceiling.
Why does he need reps with the main guy, Spence? Because he could be the main guy. I think that was very telling from Aaron. I think Aaron is telling us the Bear could actually win it. I'm not saying Bear's won it, but I'm telling you, he could win it. I think it's McKay versus Bear right now, and I would give Bear a slight nod.
Really?
In my opinion, Bear Bachmeier has a great chance to be the first true freshman starter in Game 1 of BYU history.
Wow. See, that's a bold statement.
Aaron, from what I'm hearing and what Aaron said there, it feels like Bear's got a legit chance.
Yeah,
again, I'm a little disappointed that these two haven't just, hey, freshman, you'll get your time. We've got this. They needed to beat him out with their experience. They have not, in my opinion.
The thing for me, well, it reminds me of the Tanner Mangum versus Zach Wilson situation in 2018. We heard a lot of the same comments from Jeff Grimes at the time. Aaron Roderick came in as an analyst and was helping out, but we heard a lot of the same commentary of, wow, Zach Wilson, it's unbelievable how much he knows about the offense, how good he is at this time as a true freshman. And it was neck and neck, right? Until finally the leadership and the experience of Tanner Mangum won out, but Zach Wilson takes over halfway through that season.
Tanner had been a starter for
Yes.
two seasons in yep. 2015 and 2017.
So, and that's even more extreme because
if
you're talking
McKay
about
Hillstead had been the starter for two seasons, there'd be no question. He'd be the guy.
We're talking about Zach Wilson challenging a guy who had been a starter for multiple seasons. So different here, but I feel like it's similar in that, hey, it's impressive that a freshman can come in and actually compete with these guys on a similar level, guys who have been in the program for a while, yeah. who know the offense.
Yes. I wanted those two experienced guys to just be obvious.
Is McKay the guy that has created the separation that we just talked about, though?
I think he's telling us with that, hey, I need to see Bear with more of our main guys. Why would the backup need to be with the main guys? The starter needs to be with the main guys, Spence.
To develop
the
chemistry.
The starter needs to be with the ones, okay? Bear has a legit shot. To me, it's Bear versus McKay right now.
They know what McKay and Trayson are with the starters. I think it was just a matter of, okay, we need to give Bear a fair shake to show what he can do with the starters now.
Yes.
Is he as good as McKay with the starters?
From what I'm told, he's getting a legit opportunity to showcase himself. Mm. And they have split those reps, as they've mentioned publicly. And it's a fair race for these guys.
I think
it's not like Bear, you're with the threes, but you're against the number one defense. It's not like that. He's getting a shot with the number one offense, Aaron is telling us. And that's because he wants to see if he's the guy.
See, I think it would be Bear's job had he been an early enrollee. I believe that. Because then he would have had time, more time in the offense, more time with the number ones on offense. I think it's just a matter of him not having enough time. So if Bear is not the guy, it's not because he's not capable. I think they just want him to have more time. So if he had started like Zach Wilson and been an early enrollee in January and been through spring ball, then I think he's the guy. But that's my only concern there is I just don't know if he's had enough time. Like, can you get him enough reps with the ones to get him game speed and ready to be the dude? And to what you said, the first true freshman starter in game one of a season in BYU history. Ever. I mean, that's
only
a
because
lot
of circumstance.
Trust.
It's not, normally you wouldn't do this. This is not ideal. But it's a situation we're in now. Mm. So, in my opinion, I think Bear's got he's out in front just by a touch. Feels like you have McKay out by a touch. To me, Trayson's got some space he's got to make up right now.
Yeah. Our question of the day. We want to know what you think. What is your take from the comments we just played for you from Aaron Roderick about each of the quarterbacks in this three-man quarterback battle? At True Blue BYU 1984 says,
now that's a handle.
Bear could actually start on August 30th.
Which is wild, right?
Yes.
Which is wild. That says a lot about him and what he's done. And I need those two vets who have been in the system to do a little more.
Is it risky to put him out there too soon. Like, that, I always worry about that. For like, if you shake his confidence too early, like, how much is he set back?
Yes, it's not ideal, and it's not what you want to play a true freshman out of the gate. But if he's your best option, then you go with it. Because you want to win more than anything else.
What if there is a situation where BYU is struggling early in the season? Now it's at least Bears had a little bit more time and can be implemented instead of just game number one. Like,
that would be the preference, is you play an experienced player. Yeah, that McKay or Trayson would be your starter initially. Let's be honest. The hope was that Bear was going to redshirt this year. It wasn't that he would compete for the starting spot. It was that Jake would be the guy backed up by McKay or Trayson, and Bear would be scout squad guy, situational guy, play four games plus a bowl game. That was the hope. This is all different. And all three, by the way, are working with John Beck. They threw with John Beck. That's a tradition. Apparently, that's the thing you have to do now. We love John. He does great work with the BYU quarterback. So all three are there. There's no advantage.
At Sammy J. Dot answers our question of the day. He says, maybe I'm overreacting, but it seems like high praise for a freshman quarterback. Bear could absolutely be the starter.
I think if he was clearly third, that Aaron would give us some tells there. But the tells he's giving us is that he might be the guy. My preference still is that he would actually redshirt, and then if the other two can carry you to equal to or better situations this year, yes, save Bear. Like, but if he's the best option, he's got to be the starter.
Could it be a scenario like 2012 where Riley Nelson was the starter, but they had some packages for Taysom Hill? And then eventually, well, Taysom took over.
Taysom took over, and he started
two games. Could it be a similar scenario like that?
Hawaii, and then he got hurt at the end of Utah State because they didn't kneel it out. I'm still upset about that situation, by the way.
I know, so sucky.
Kneel it out!
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to answer our question of the day.
I feel like I was pretty calm, and then you brought up that. The morning after, BYU's one out in the AP preseason top 25 bowl, as we mentioned. BYU's 26th in the top 25 bowl. How many games do you think BYU will play against ranked teams?
Ooh.
Riddle me that.
Right now, there are two on the schedule. It's
as of now.
And they're in a row. It's at Iowa State bye week. And then at Texas Tech, both road games against ranked teams.
Brutal.
BYU's not going to face a ranked team in the non-conference.
No.
Colorado is an intriguing case.
No.
Can Colorado get through their non-conference unscathed? Because if they do, they are a team that is receiving votes. They're still like 20 spots out.
Yeah.
They're still well out of top. But could Colorado, if they're 3-0, be a top 25 team?
They go Georgia Tech, Delaware, Houston.
Yes.
So they could be.
They could.
Yeah.
I believe.
And then Wyoming.
I believe.
Then BYU.
Do you think the voters like Coach Prime in Colorado?
No. Yes.
Oh, they
could
them.
Be. They could be 4-0. BYU could walk in.
Pretty, that could be a ranked opponent.
4-0.
To open up Big 12 play in Boulder.
Yeah, 3-0, sorry. Yeah.
I think there will be three. I don't know where the third is going to happen, but Colorado could be it. Utah could also be a team that's in the top 25.
Yeah, you hate to see it, but it could happen.
That could be a team that is in the top 25 when they visit Provo in mid-October. So I think there will be three total. Just don't know if it's going to be Colorado or Utah, but I think those are the two teams that have the best chance to be in the top 25 when BYU plays them.
Who's going to surprise us this year?
Maybe
in the Big
TCU?
12? TCU feels like a team that's always on the cusp.
Josh Hoover is a fantastic quarterback.
Yes. Do they have no run game last year. They just throw for a million yards.
Elite receivers and a great quarterback.
Defense was not as good as it kind of we're used to seeing. And trust us, we know good TCU defense. But it's been a long time. Who's going to surprise us? Like, is Arizona going to be what they were 2 years ago, last year? Is West Virginia with Rich Rod back? Are they going to resurrect that thing and be interesting on a Friday night in early October? I'm not sure. Yeah, it does feel like Iowa State and Texas Tech have a great chance, as you mentioned, of being ranked. We'll see. I do think one of the teams that we think is going to be really good won't be. That's just how this plays out typically.
Yeah.
And one of those two is probably not going to be as good as we think, even though they're pretty loaded with talent. Yeah, Utah is the big question mark because Utah, crazy volatile in terms of what people think of them. They're either people are super high on them, they're going to have an offense with that great defense, and they'll be top 25, or wait and see, not sure on Dampier, not sure on the new offense, and so on and so forth. We love our guy Jason Beck, but he's wearing that crimson now. We're going at it. It's like when Kalani was up there.
And Mark Hotwire.
Gosh. And you know, Coy Detmer Jr. and Micah Simon. We love those guys, but when you're wearing, we're like the bull, and you're wearing red, man. Like, it's crazy. So it'll be fun. Yeah, I'm with you, like two or three.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters if it's two or three, but the context of such is always interesting to discuss.
Will there be a game that launches BYU into a space where people are talking about that win?
It's Colorado, Jerem.
SMU Colorado. Was that win last year for BYU. You know, we don't see it now, but that doesn't mean it won't show up later.
BYU's 4-0 coming off a road win to open up Big 12 play against a maybe ranked Colorado team, then BYU's back in the mix.
We need Stanford to be good in the ACC. So if that win happens, you go, hey, that's a quality win.
Their program's in shambles.
I know. Well, and because of that, Bear Bachmeyer's here.
Yeah.
If it's not, he's at Stanford. We don't even know his name. Like, we're not talking about Bear and Tiger. Luckily, we have him here.
Geniuses. Both of them.
Yeah.
Geniuses.
My guys. For more fall camp coverage, interviews, shows, deep lists, we got you on BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
After the break, which Cougar was recently added to another preseason watch list? Yeah, still in the preseason watch list time. We'll tell you who in a loaded edition of headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out your Tuesday headlines.
BYU football in week three of training camp. Camp continues with full coverage here on BYU Sports Nation and on our YouTube channel.
Yesterday, BYU linebacker Isaiah Glasker was named to the preseason watch list for the Chuck Bednarik Award, presented annually to the most outstanding defensive player in college football.
Well, Whit Mag signs with Cairns Taipans of the Australian NBL. Mag played in 34 games last season, scored about 6 points, shot nearly 40% from three.
He was huge during the March run for BYU.
6 points per game, I should mention, not total of six points.
BYU men's golfers Gihei Akina, Peter Kim, and Tyson Shelley teed off at the 125th U.S. Amateur Championship yesterday. Through one round, Shelley is plus two, tied for 65th. Akina is three over, tied for 100th. And Peter Kim at plus five, tied for 156th. Round two continues today. Good luck.
And reported this morning, John Rothstein says BYU men's basketball face off against Miami in the first round of the ESPN Invitational in Orlando. Then it's either Georgetown or Dayton. We knew the three opponents. We didn't know which one would be first. And then we know the potential second round matchup. Miami went to the Final Four a couple years ago. They were not good last year. We'll see what they are this year.
Yeah, BYU has certainly ramped up the non-conference schedule in men's basketball.
You can say that again. This is going to be fun. This team, this schedule, all of it.
Even the exhibitions. Goodness.
I know. North Carolina in an exhibition. That's amazing.
Still on the way. Former NFL linebacker and current BYU TV football analyst David Nixon gives his take on the recent quarterback comments from offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. And could this be one of the best linebacking cores ever for the Cougars? This is BYUS.
It must be August. This defense is really good.
This is the most quarterback knowledgeable coaching staff I've ever worked with.
The pass rush looks good.
BYU comes out to handle Portland State.
I feel really good about the progress that we're making.
We're 18 days away from game number one for BYU football. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, and just across the way is our good friend, former NFL and BYU linebacker and current BYU TV football analyst, David Nixon.
Must be a Tuesday AFR.
Hey, listen,
let's go.
I feel honored to be in the seat. There's been some pretty impressive people that have sat here.
I know, right?
Yeah, like every time I tune in, you got somebody, some A-lister. So the B and C-lister and myself, I appreciate the opportunity.
Olympians,
to here.
National champions, All-Americans. I mean, it's pretty nice now.
This is the hot seat. I like it.
Well, if you're ready for the hot seat, David, we might as well hop right into the conversation.
Welcome into the steam room.
We recently played, in fact, just a few minutes ago, comments from Aaron Roderick about each of the three quarterbacks. And Jerem and I have our takes, what we're reading from those. We believe that they are telling. But having listened to A-Rod's commentary, who's the guy that you think is creating separation right now and has the best chance to start?
Yeah, I've been to practice, and I've watched these guys throw. And in A-Rod's comments, you can tell it's tough for them right now to make sure everyone's getting equal reps. And you heard the comment about Bear where he's saying, hey, it's tough for Bear because he's trying to get the chemistry with these wide receivers, and sometimes they're not coming out of their breaks or the body language, whatever it may be. And so you could tell, like, the angst in Aaron Rodgers because he wants to give everyone a fair shot. And I think that's the toughest thing is you only have so many reps during practice. And you only have so many reps against the ones, yeah. Right? I mean, it's different for a kid to take reps against the twos and threes because obviously he's going to look much better than if he goes against the ones. And so the reps are limited. I think he's having a tough time of allocating those reps. With that being said, I've talked to one of the defensive coaches, and he said, listen, we're pretty confident with whoever they roll out there, whoever they decide on, we're going to be just fine.
That's great news.
He goes, our offense has never been better. This offensive line is real. And this is coming from a defensive coach that goes against that offense every day.
They don't want to say nice things about the offense.
Yeah, exactly.
They want to
the offense. Not publicly.
Yeah, exactly.
But he was saying we're in good hands. All those quarterbacks are very capable, and he's confident the offensive coaching staff will make the right call. But you can read into all those the little nuances that Aaron Roderick said about each quarterback. But it is somewhat telling where he talks about McKay, and he's talking about the fact that he wants him to take better command of the huddle and the operational side of things.
Tempo.
For some reason, that leads me, if you're talking about operational, making sure he gets the offense set, that's different than when you're talking about guys getting breaks or kind of knowing the playbook. Now he's thinking more of going to a game, who's going to be that right guy. So I just based off those comments, it seems like maybe they're leaning Hillstead, but I think this is one of those races that changes literally on a daily basis. You know, I think per practice, they reevaluate, and I think it can sway one way or another.
When do you feel like they need to figure this out? Obviously ASAP, but realistically, because Aaron said, we don't have a deadline per se, but he said maybe the end of this week, next week, which feels like when they end camp and they start Portland State prep. Is that when that guy needs all the reps with the ones?
Yeah, I think so. And listen, I don't think this is something you need to rush into. And I know if you can flip-flop back on this as far as some people want the captain to be named and the guys so you can rally around them. But I also don't want them to make the wrong decision, right? And maybe some guys come on late, like a Bear Bachmeier, where he hasn't been in the program for super long. So you need to give him plenty of reps to show, his ability.
That's a good point because Jake Retzloff, we understand, won it late.
Yeah.
Over Gary Bohannon last year.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like I said, just take some quarterbacks longer to get more comfortable with the system and comfortable with the receivers. And so more reps are helpful. So I don't think there's a huge rush. Now, if you're playing Notre Dame or some big P4 week one, you might want to name it sooner to get prepped and get going sooner. But with this schedule BYU has, that's somewhat favorable out the gates, I think you can afford to take your time and make sure that you're making the right decision.
Yeah, great point. There is that ramp up in the schedule, naturally. We believe that the first half will be lighter than the back six, and that is advantageous in a quarterback situation where you're breaking in a new guy. Last year, there was this big conversation about BYU not naming the starter publicly until game number one. Like it just became a thing. And I know it was a really tight race between Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzloff. And I asked A-Rod if he was going to do something similar this year. Like, are we not going to know until game number one? Fully expecting him to say, yeah, we're not going to know until you won't know until game number one. But he said, nah, I don't know if there's an advantage this year. So maybe I'll
thank you, Aaron.
Maybe let's name the guy and then we'll call it good.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like there is an advantage this year holding on to that information?
Well, against an FCS team.
Well, here's my take on that comment. There's not a lot of film on any of these guys. Right. So last year, you could go back and look at Jake's film. We go back and look at Gary at Baylor and kind of pick up on his strengths and weaknesses.
There's no film on them at BYU.
There's limited film on Trayson, right? And McKay, and of course, Bear.
You have to go back to 23.
Yeah. And not a ton of starts per se, right? In a totally different system. So I think they're more bullish on announcing it this time around because good luck. The defenses you're going against, it's not like you're going to pick up any cues based off last year's film because none of them played last year, right?
Yeah. Utah State's film in 23. Western
yeah, exactly.
High school
there's
film.
There's not much of a beat you can get on these guys. So I think that's maybe why. And listen, I think also just the fan base support. Whoever they pick in quarterback, it's been a battle out there for them. They're going to need this emotional support from not only their teammates but from the fans, right? They're going to need to feel that love because – this is a tough spot you're jumping into, right? I mean, you thought that Jake was going to be the guy, and now all of a sudden, you're maybe the dude for BYU football, a quarterback, which is, as we know, tradition-wise, it's a big role. It's a lot of weight to carry on your shoulders. And so, for me, I think announcing it publicly is fine. You're not going to give any type of competitive advantage to the opposing defenses. But on top of that, I think it just shows, like, hey, we're behind this guy. We're announcing it publicly. We didn't wait till the last minute. We let the team know. Let's ride together.
What's it like being on the defense, not knowing who that guy is, yet you've got to back that guy in a way that, hey, you've got to score points and we'll prevent points.
I've talked about this in the past. It's the defense. If I'm not on the defense right now, like I come to practice every day saying I need to get better first and foremost. Our defense needs to get better. But, you know, 1B as far as priority goes, I got to get this quarterback. I got to make sure they're making the right decision. I've got to give them the best looks possible. I've got to be going full speed so I can make sure that, you know, when he is throwing that out route, if it's going to get picked in a real game, I got to pick that ball because I need the coaches to see that, right? So I've taken it upon myself to make sure that they're making the right decision because of how fast we're going and how well we're executing on defense to give those guys the best look and give the coaches the best chance to evaluate these quarterbacks. So, yeah, it's weird. It's, you know, my years, I never had that issue. We were John Beck and Max Hall, kind of knew who the starter was, right? But at the same time, you know, put myself in these defensive shoes, you got to get better as an individual and as a team. But offensively, you know, you've got to make sure they pick the right quarterback, and that's going hard. And that's not letting up on them. That's showing the offensive lineman, like, you better protect these dudes because that's what's going to happen this year. I mean, do we expect either of these quarterbacks to come out and throw for 4,000 yards, 5,000? No.
No.
No. But we expect them to hopefully take care of the ball. I think this team is so dynamic this year from defensively and also offensively, the playmakers around them. This quarterback doesn't have to go out there and win games. You just can't have a quarterback that goes out there and loses games.
That was Jake last year for the most part. There were moments where he had to drive BYU down for sure. But it was like, just take care of the rock. It's going to be all right, man. There's going to be a punt return for a touchdown. There'll be a pick. There'll be a long field goal. Like, something's going to happen.
David Nixon is with us on BYU Sports Nation discussing BYU football 18 days away from game number one. Let's talk about a specific position group on that defensive front. One that you're an expert in, the linebackers, David. From your vantage point, Isaiah Glasker, Jack Kelly, and Ciala Ayisser, they're the projected three starters right now. Is that core capable of being known as one of the best linebacking cores ever at BYU? Is that too bold of a statement?
I don't think it is. And in this defense that Jay Hill runs, like they showcase these linebackers and they put them in positions and blitzes and looks and schemes to showcase that ability. So I love this linebacker group. I mean, I'm telling you, they're long, they're fast, they're big. And I think they have a ton of potential. And here's the thing that, I mean, warms my soul is knowing how much game time experience they have, right? I mean, these guys roll in and you look at across the board where they all the starts they've had, you look at the production they've had, and that experience for me, especially when you're dealing with a kind of somewhat of a newer and fresh defensive line, guys are getting worked in there, some younger bodies getting worked in there, knowing they have linebackers that can make them right. Because here's the thing, those young D linemen are going to make mistakes. They're not going to go in their proper gaps or they're going to get pushed out of their gaps. But having veteran linebackers behind them that can make them right and say and feel that, hey, he's getting widened, let me fill that C gap, like that's huge. Whereas in younger linebackers, you tend to be like, no, I've got this C gap, I've got to get to my gap, and all of a sudden the B is wide open or whatever it may be, right? So having guys that can play off each other and help motivate those youngsters and kind of get them caught to speed, it's huge, I'm telling you. I mean, as linebackers, that's your whole role is to play off those D linemen and make them right. And the fact that you've got the experience there, it's huge. Mm.
What kind of difference do you feel like Keanu Tanuvasa will make as a D-tackle that can disrupt a defense? Because I don't think BYU's had that guy in a while.
Yeah, and to that point, that opens up Jay Hill's playbook as well, right? When you have a dominant D-tackle like that can move, right? It's one thing to be able to be strong and stout and be able to kind of button press and just bull rush guys in the backfield. It's another way to have a guy that can move like an Aaron Donald, right, that you can swim and you can move him two gaps wise because he's so quick. That it opens it up even more. And so I think – you know, watching the film on him and watching him in practice, that kid is,
bro,
he's impressive.
I rewatched the Utah game. He was in the backfield yes. almost every play.
Yeah, I went back and watched the highlights of the Utah game just a couple nights ago.
Why not?
That's how I put myself to bed. Right? that's like my warm milk at night is just watching highlights of BYU football from last year.
Your binky.
My little blinky. And anyways, yeah, to your point, watching the Utah game, anytime Jake was on the run, it was because the Tanuvasa was right in his face. Mm-hmm. And I went back and watched him make his moves on those linemen. And BYU had a great offensive line last year. But the way he was able to get around them. And I mean, he's just quick and fast.
Yep.
And having that ability on that D-line, not just be a run stuffer, but be able in the pass game, you know, loop all the way around to the tackle and disrupt, like, good luck.
I can't wait to watch him, man. It's awesome. He's in blue.
He's quick and he's massive. In fact, he told me recently he starts practice at 309 pounds and he ends practice at 302.
What?
Wow.
This happened when I was with the Rams and it was 110 degrees, humid, hot, everything. they make his way in and way out.
This is St. Louis. This
St. Louis.
Is the humidity.
Yes. Yeah, not LA.
Right.
Back in the day with St. Louis. And we'd weigh in and weigh out, and I would lose anywhere from 10 to 12 pounds per practice.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And you would they'd force us when we come back in, they'd have Gatorade, just Gatorades lined up on tables, and they would force you to drink like five of them while you're in meetings, like to the point where all you're doing is just sipping. And you knew you were in trouble whenever you weren't having to go to the bathroom very often because you're just replenishing all those fluids. But it got exhausting. Let's just say Gatorade got – I got really sick of Gatorade that year.
You're sweating light blue.
That's hilarious. Great stuff, David. We look forward to more on After Further Review.
Yeah, we're excited for today. We're going to break down all the opponents that BYU faces this year. So get into the depths and details of that one.
Dave will add 10 pounds at lunch today as well to go the reverse way. That's coming up at 7 Eastern, After Further Review. With David Nixon, Blaine Fowler, Dave McCann tonight. They're going to break down the schedule as mentioned. Can't wait for that.
When we return, it's our training camp edition of Top 5 Tuesday. Which plays do we think have been best so far? This is BYU Sports Nation. Cameron.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are amidst training camp, and it is time for a Top 5 Tuesday edition of the top five plays we have seen from training camp thus far.
Number 5, LJ Martin to the house. Avoids some contact at the line of scrimmage, gets through. I think he breaks that tackle on Tommy Prassis.
He looks faster!
Outruns the defense. He's lost some weight. He looks like the real deal Holyfield.
Home run hitter.
Excited about that, because LJ is a junior now.
He did it against Arkansas as a freshman. He was a little lighter, a little faster then, and certainly healthy. He's back, Jeremy. It looks like he's back.
Yeah, and when you're an upperclassman, the standard goes up. Now you're going to be your best self.
At number 4, Treyson Borgay searching for number 2, Chase Roberts in the front corner of the end zone. Hopefully we see a lot of Chase Roberts in the end zone this season, Jim.
I think we will. Number 3. This is from a drill, not a scrimmage play. Isaiah Glasker. Bringing the boom! Ball pops out. Ball security!
Whoa.
Hold on to that ball, Petey! Isaiah Glasker is a problem for a lot of opposing defenses.
He's kind of like a hybrid, at BYU anyway, of what Alanie Fua and Fred Warner were.
Yeah. He's the closest thing to Fred Warner, Kyle Van Noy that we have seen.
Oh, I'm so excited for Isaiah.
Stat stuffer. Zane Anderson was that way, too. Stuff the stuff.
Zane Train.
Love Zane.
Number 2, our runner-up, another defensive gem. And this time, it's Maury Bamba jumping in front of JoJo Phillips, gets a foot down, and secures the pick.
That's a heck of a play. How is that not number 1? That's amazing. Because number 1's even better. How about the freshman connection? Bear Bachmeier to LaMason Waller. Not the first, the second. The third.
Whoa!
First down, baby. This is a heck of a throw and catch here, Spence.
How about the true freshman? A lot of people excited about him. That's a very deep position group.
It's very deep.
I'm interested to see what BYU does with the talent like LaMason Waller this season.
I hope they can redshirt him, and then he becomes an even bigger factor next year, because it's a very deep group with some experienced guys, like Cody Hagan.
Mm.
Cody didn't redshirt. But he played sparingly, mostly special teams, and now he's going to have a bigger role.
Okay, so what's your gross overreaction from these 5 plays about the
season? LaMason Waller will be a first-team owner. No, we've seen some great throws from multiple quarterbacks. We've seen great defensive plays. BYU's got a good team, man. And I'm telling you, for the offense to execute anything on this defense, it's tough. So if you hear, the struggles in the scrimmage, the whatever, this defense is top 20 again. They're going to be really good.
BYU is able to run the ball against this defense in training camp. There is something to be said about that because we believe the defense is really good, but the offense has had success running the ball.
Here's why I don't read into that a ton. Unless it's the scrimmage, they're most of the time, they're in thud. Like on the LJ run, hey, that looked great. I think he would have beaten that tackle. They weren't in full tackle mode.
But we're making gross overreactions, Jeremy. We're making gross.
I agree that they're
assumptions.
Gross. I agree that they're gross. Coming up Thursday, women's soccer opening the season. Hey, they're unranked. They're going to play a ranked Minnesota Gopher team, number 24, Thursday night. You can watch that on Big Ten Plus as the regular season gets underway and the return of Ellie Walbrook.
She's next level, Jeremy.
Really
the disrespect. Unranked BYU women's soccer to begin the season.
They don't know.
But they about to find
That's
out.
Right.
From touchdowns to testimonies, we give a special rise and shout out and our elite voice of the day to wrap up the show. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand because you demanded it. Download the free BYU TV, BYU Radio apps to listen to the pod, subscribe, rate, and review.
And we welcome you back with our question of the day. Specifically, what is your take from recent comments from Aaron Roderick about each of the quarterbacks in the current BYU quarterback battle? We played all three comments about the three individuals earlier in the show, in case you missed it. And at BYU Bailey is responding on X with the following, quote, Bear should be the starter. If McKay and Trayson can't create separation with a freshman quarterback, it indicates that he's that much more talented than those guys. If all things are equal, you've got to go with Bear because the ceiling will be that much higher.
Upside versus experience. I can see the argument too. If all things are equal, go with a more experienced person. I can see that argument as well. I just want BYU to win. I don't care about any other agenda, any other political whatever ramification. Nope. Put that to the side.
Do you want multiple BYU quarterbacks to see drives win in game number one?
Absolutely, because I would like BYU to have a significant lead to where we see a second guy.
So you don't want a competition situation in game number one.
To bleed into game number one, I would like to just declare, like, go with the guy, figure it out, and then ride that out and see where it goes. You can always go to the other guy.
Okay.
Like, and if it was that close, you know, you give a proper amount of leash, whatever that looks
short
like.
Short leash if it's that close.
I wouldn't say short. I'd say medium. Like, it doesn't need to be long because it was a competition. If it wasn't a competition and it was obvious, you just give that guy the long leash. But, you know, when Robbie Bosco is the starter in 84, like, Blaine's right there, but the leash was long enough for Robbie to feel comfortable. He looked terrible early against Pitt. Lavelle brings him over. He's like, you're our guy. You're our guy. Whoever the guy is, they're going to be the guy. And they're going to be the guy into the Stanford game. Now, if you throw four picks in the first half against Portland State, that's different. But that's extreme. That's Portland State. We're going to let this play out. They're going to figure out a guy. I would like Aaron said, it might be the end of this week, next week. I would say
it's the end of this week.
By the beginning of next week, you probably need to have that person figured out, and you're running with it. They're getting all the reps with the ones now.
At Timothy Turnstone on X says, quote, hot take, but sounds like McKay is actually in the lead here.
See, yeah, I see the idea there. I believe that Bear is a nod ahead. You believe that McKay has the nod just ahead.
He continues. He seems to infer that McKay is ready to go, just needs some minor fine-tuning. Tempo was what he was talking about. But that Bear, while learning quickly, is just a bit too green to be the guy right now. And then in parentheses, starter to be decided probably this week.
If you ask me what my preference would be, it would be that one of the experienced guys is the starter.
That's separate. They've
started games before. Sure. I know not at the Power 4 level, but still in college football. And then Bear can be on the sideline. He can be listening in. He can be helping relay in the plays. Just like, you don't have to be the guy right away. That would be ideal.
Let him marinate in the offense from the sideline. Let him marinate a little bit.
If he is the best option, get him in.
All right. Our elite voice today, presented by PAX Healthcare, careers built for victory, comes from at Rowdy in the Rock, who says, each of these guys can win BYU games, but the pecking order is Bear, McKay, Trayson. Seems to me like the Bear train is starting to leave the station, and it's time to jump on.
We'll see, man. We still got time in camp. It's still early. It's week three. You know, we're going to get through this week, next week, then it's game week. And we've got some time still, and we'll see who it is, which is fun.
It's very difficult for a true freshman to be a guy at this stage of training camp to create separation. That's right. Where I hesitate. I'm like, if someone is creating separation on August 12th, how likely is it that it is a true freshman that's creating the separation? I don't know.
Not likely.
I don't know.
But if he's the guy, he's the guy. Mm. Yeah, I'm excited to go to practice today and hear the latest on this situation.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about this? Nate Watson, who we believe is Enoch Watson, BYU quarterback signee's dad. Routes on air, P-Day, well spent for these awesome elders, Enoch Watson, Jet Nelson, the BYU signees, current missionaries in Viña del Mar, Chile. Both will join the team in January 2026. We believe they're companions, and they are throwing
looking
to
good.
Each other in Chile.
Looking good.
Not
it,
bad.
No, isn't it Chile?
Only if you went there.
Is it Chile?
Only if you went there, yeah. I don't say, O Brasil.
You should.
Hanguk!
Korea!
Korea.
I love it. Our thanks to today's guest, David Nixon.
Sorry, Dennis. Ran out of time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Jason Walker. We'll see you tomorrow back here in Studio B with fresh practice footage. Go Cougs.